Let's start our meal. We won't. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ruach HaKodesh. Thank you, Christ, for pouring out on us. And through you, we come to Ab Adonai Yahweh. Amen. So tonight's sharing is going to be on the new earth. And kind of, you've got to start over to an extent of when we're born into this world. People teach us things. In many cases, it's not correct at all. So I was raised a Catholic, and we pray to Mary and all sorts of stuff. And then you find out in the Bible, in the Word of Yahweh, it's not there. So with all of us, we have to, all the information that we've received from people around us, we have to actually go to the Word and see if it's actually there. And none of us would ever knew about the new earth. We're never even taught about the new earth. It was always heaven, 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 heaven. All the songs are about heaven. There's nothing about the new earth. Well, people are not in heaven, which we're going to see. And people are dead, waiting for the resurrection to be placed on the new earth. It's just automatically there. So it's time to change and to teach others also. So we're going to look at Adam, and the word Adam, it's not Adam, it's actually Adam, is Hebrew for mankind. And so instead of calling somebody a human being, we should just call them an Adam. And you're not a homo sapien, you're an Adam. And we use Yahweh's word. And it can also be a proper name. So Eve is an Adam. Adam is Adam, and so we go to Genesis 1:24, and Yahweh made the Adams, and he's going to show us where he placed them, and we all know, 1:24-28. And Elohim said, "Let the lamb bring forth living nephesh after its kind, tame beasts and creeping things, wild beasts of the land after its kind." Remember, the word is land. And it was so, and Elohim made the wild beast of the land after its kind, and the tame beast after its kind, every creeping thing of ground after its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good, and Elohim said, "Let us make Adam in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the..." This is our purpose. This is mankind's purpose. Not to be in heaven. We're here on the earth, over the birds of the heavens, over the tame beasts, over all the land, over every creeping thing that creepeth on the land. That's our home. It's always our home. "And Elohim created a man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." That's what the earth. "And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the heavens, and over every living thing that moveth on the land." Is there any question on where Yahweh designed mankind, or, you know, Adam's? It's obviously right here. And the earth is the Hebrew word Eres, E-R-E-S, Eres. And we're going to find out, we're talking about the new earth, the new Eres. Man is land-bound. We have celestial messengers who are heavenly bound, which we're going to see. Now we go to Genesis 1:1. "And in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth." Okay, there it is. So the book begins with Eres, the earth. Eres, the earth. It begins with the earth. Now if we go to Revelation 21:1. To the end of the book.
Revelations what?
21:1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Okay, the book ends with the earth. And it was actually the beginning. And when we say new...
Wait a minute. Are you in
Revelation 21:1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth," and which we know that's how the book ends. It's still the Eres. Now, when we see the word new, there are two Greek word and obviously Hebrew words for new. And so we have kainos, 25:37, which means new in freshness, not new in time. So when we say a new earth, it's not new in time. So what we're going to see is, as we know, on if you look at 19, all the way through Revelation, the earth was just scorched.
Yeah.
Yahweh's not creating a new planet. It's new by refreshing it. And that's that new, that word kainos. And there's also a neos, which is new in time. And so there's two different words, new, and they're always going to be translated new. So let's go to Matthew 9:17, and both those words are there. So when we say a new earth, it's not a new planet. Matthew 9:17. And both words are in here. Kainos. Neither pour they the new wine. And so the new wine is neos, 3501. New in time. Obviously, this is new in time. They pour the new wine into the old skins, otherwise at least the skins are burst, and the wine running out and the skins are spoiled. But they pour new wine, neos, into unused skins. Wait a minute here. Yeah, and that's Kano. So other people will say new bottles, new skins. So the new wine is neos. The skins, which is the bottle, is Kainos, which we know they are not new in nature. They're a skin that was skinned and everything else. So it didn't come into an existence like a baby does. So you got neos, which is new in nature. It never existed, and now it exists. And then you have new in quality or freshness, and that is Kainos. So our earth, the new earth, is going to be Kainos.
You spell it?
It's Kainos. 2537, Neos is 3501. And most of the time, I didn't realize Rothram, if you look at unused, look at D footnotes.
Fresh.
And he's going to do Kainos.
Fresh. It has Neos there too.
Yeah. So you got Neos and newly made, both the words, but the King James will say no new on both of them without differentiating that they're different words. And that's what we've got to look at in many times in our own lives. The books were made for usually the vulgar. And the vulgar means common. It's not an insult. The vulgar people. If people do not understand words and they don't have it in their vocabularies, we're going to try to communicate to them in what words they actually know. And that's a disadvantage. Robert Young said that in his Young's Bible in the 1880s. And he says, there's 48 Hebrew words, different words, that were translated destroy.
Destroy?
Yeah, one word.
Wow.
So you have King James Authorized Version had 48 different words, and they translated them all the same word, destroy. Yahweh used 48 different meanings of words, yeah. and so that was for the vulgar. Because, we say words, that people don't understand, so I can't put it in the Bible because it's supposed to get people to read it, and so we want advanced information, mm-hmm. and we can look up the words and everything else to do that. Otherwise, if a person makes a Bible, why are they this way? Is people aren't going to buy them if they don't know the vocabulary, and most people don't want truth. And this is what we're seeing with our life too. People want heaven. This is called confirmation bias. And so mostly anything that people have, a child sacrifice is confirmation bias. People, through the centuries, why would people sacrifice children? Well, really, a simple reason. Man wants sex, And there's no birth control at that time. So when you have sex, you're going to produce a baby. Well, I don't want to feed another mouth, right? So instead of feeding another mouth, we're going to offer this to the gods. And that's confirmation bias. And so it's expedient to the people, for the men, probably not the women, but the women. And so you see this child sacrifice through all civilizations. I mean, it is every place. Wow. Or they just abandon the children because they don't want any more children, but they want sex, sexual intercourse. Now we go to back to Genesis 1:1. And so it's for us to unravel and find the truths that Yahweh put in the Hebrew, not in the Greek. Hebrew, not in the Greek. And Hebrew is actually the word Ibri. It's not even, so get rid of the H and the W. So E-B-R-E. Ibri.
That's E-B-R-E, not E-B-R-E?
Well, it's actually I-B-R-I, Ibri. But I saw in the 1500s, they actually spelled it E-B-R-I. Okay. Instead of an H in the front, get rid of the H. That messes everything up. So the word's not Hebrew, it's actually Ibri. I'll say Hebrew because people don't know what Ibri means. And so that's the other thing we've got to unwind. How far off can you get? Not even close. Then we go to Genesis 1. Let's start at 1:1. The subject is the new earth, or the Kainos earth, new in freshness, new in quality. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Great. And the earth hath become waste and wild, and darkness was on the face of the roaring deep. But the Ruach of Elohim was brooding on the face of the waters. But we see, most people say the earth was, and that's not the word was, it's the word had become. The Rothman will do that correctly, and everybody else knows that too, it's had become. And this, so the first heaven and earth is where what we have is the dinosaurs, there's a civilization, there's bones of all sorts, there's a whole other world that happened. And I really, in my opinion, what that earth was, it didn't need a sun. It doesn't need planets. You know, with us, we can't have that. Yes, you can, because Yahweh is the light thereof. So we're going to get into a particular world where we don't have the planets either. And it says Yahweh is the light thereof. So you got earth and you got Yahweh. That's it. And people say, well, that can't be. Yes, it can be. You know, it's just that simple. So, as we know with water and earth, when light is gone, what happens to the water?
It disintegrates.
It freezes.
Oh, man.
Everything's just frozen. And that's what they would call the ice age, right?
Yeah.
So everything's frozen. Well, all you got to do is take away light, and everything, the whole thing freezes. One big, massive ice ball. And then Yahweh comes back and creates the sun, which heats it up, and then you got this whole thing that starts happening. And then that civilization all died. So think of removing the light, which killed everything, right? Because without light, it's called a negative or absolute zero. An absolute zero is like 250 degrees below zero. So this is where the atom stops. There's no motion, so everything dies. No different than with Noah when they flooded the whole thing. But instead of starting completely over, we're going to start with some animals and mankind. But that had to be the first thing, and this is where we get the dinosaur bones. But that's beside the point. But we see the earth, or the Eris, became waste and wild. But that's so the first one, Genesis 1:1, is the first earth. You know, not in, it was new. That would be obviously new. It was created in the beginning. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Then that earth got dead. Okay. And then in Genesis 1:2, or actually 1:3 is even better. We know what happened. And Elohim said, light be, and light was good. What does light bring? It brings life. So darkness, no Yahweh. So this is the second earth. And this is in quality or freshness, not in new origination. So, and which we'll see. We'll go through that. So we're going to go to 2 Peter 3. And explains the three different earths. And we'll start at verse 3. Now this first be taking note that there will come in the last of the days with scoffers after their own coveting is going on and saying, where is the promise of his presence? This is about Christ coming back or Mashiach coming back. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things thus remain from the beginning of creation. No. For this they willfully forget that there were heavens of old and an earth. Okay, so here's the first one. On account of water and by means of water compacted by Yahweh's word, by which means the world that then was with water being flooded perished. So that's Genesis 1:1. So it perished. And people are going to say that's Noah. No, because Noah, everything did not perish. We know that the sea creatures did not die. We know they brought all the animals on the boat and mankind was still there. So most people are going to say this is Noah by the flood. No, this was Genesis 1:1. The earth had become waste and wild. That's Genesis 1:2. I guess really Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:3 is when it comes back into existence. Which means the world that then was with water being flooded perished, while the heavens and the earth that now are our present earth by the same word have been stored with fire. So interesting, the first earth was destroyed by water, and we know that because it covered the deep. All right, everybody follow me? The second, our earth, is going to be destroyed in Revelations by fire. We know that. So people will say, the liberals are talking about the earth's going to flood and the ice caps are going to melt. We're all going to drown. No, no, no. It's going to end. It's going to be by fire.
A lot faster. That's going to be here.
By the same word have been stored with fire, being kept unto the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly men. And I think the other thing, too, is that first earth, it could have been where the Satan was, the adversaries, where his angel of light, and you got all sorts of, where do these creatures come from? And that could have been right on that earth. You know, other thing, this other world that Yahweh doesn't tell us about. Mm-hmm. We find bones. 8. But this one thing, forget not, beloved, that one day with Yahweh is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So people took that verse and made it, okay, when we hit the year, 7,000, we're at 6,000 right now, 7,000, that's when Christ is going to come back, and that was a mistake. And Yahweh is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering with, when you ever see the word long-suffering, that's the wrong word. The Hebrew word is slow to anger. Now, we know that this slow to anger is not long-suffering. Long-suffering means you're never going to be angry. It's just the word long-suffering, verse 9, off the subject. But it's slow to anger. Slow to anger means you're going to get it. Long-suffering just says, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you wouldn't do that. You're never going to get it. So, but they have changed the word slow to anger to long-suffering. But in long-suffering with regard to you, not being minded that any should perish, but that all unto repentance should come, howbeit the day of Yahweh, we know the day of Yahweh, that's a specific day, that's the book of Revelation, and it's all the way through the Old Covenant, and especially in Joel. Howbeit the day of Yahweh will be here as a thief, in which the heavens with a rushing noise will pass away, while elements become intensely hot will be dissolved. I'm kind of glad I'm not going to be there. So as Christians, we're not going to be. That could happen tomorrow. You know, once once the trumpet sounds and we're gone off this earth, okay. Now, the rest of you.
we'll talk about what the heavens are.
You got a window of time about like this. You better get the seal of Yahweh on your forehead, and don't take that seal of the beast. All right, or you're really going to get smoked. And the earth and the works thereof will be dissolved, discovered. Seeing that all these things are thus to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye all the while to be in holy ways of behavior and acts of godliness, expecting and hastening the presence of the day of Yahweh, by reason of which heavens being on fire will be dissolved, and elements becoming intensely hot are to be melted. But new heavens and a new Kainos earth, that's Kainos, a new heaven, new earth, according to his promise, are we expecting. That's our hope. Wherein righteousness is to dwell. A real good book on that is this, The Christian Hope, done by John Shainite. I really recommend that you get that new or used. And it will really go through all of this, the new earth.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Now, so we look at this new earth, and that's what we're looking at. It's going to actually be divided into two components. One is a 1,000-year reign, and natural man's going to be there. Once you die, so on this new earth, people are going to live and die. And on the when Satan has been released after 1,000 years, there's going to be a judgment. And then all the bad people are gone. There's been a purging of everything. And so only people are going to be left for this new earth that's going to come down out of heaven is going to be for Yahweh's people. Real simple. So we go to Isaiah 65, and we'll start looking at some of that. And Isaiah is full of it, full of the new earth. This is for people. We're going to go to Isaiah 65, but I'm going to give you some chapter and verses. New earth.
Hold on now until I get to 65.
Yeah, just look at 65. I'm going to tell everybody else. For future study, Isaiah 2, verses 1 to 5, Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 11, Isaiah 35, chapter 35, chapter 51, verse 3, chapter 65, verse 17 to 25. And that's where we're going right now. Isaiah 65, verse 17. And these are things that never, they started trying to make this all being in the heavenly sphere, which it's not. 17, and behold me, creating new heavens and a new earth. This is the Hebrew word new is hadas. And the Septuagint will translate Kainos, not new in time, but in nature. Same situation. It's not a new creation. For behold me, creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be mentioned, neither shall they come up on the heart. But joy ye and exult. And exult is not exalt. It exalt, E-X-U-L-T, which means to leap for joy. Isn't that a great word?
Jump.
We don't ever use that. Perpetually in what I'm about to create. For behold me creating Jerusalem, and everything's going to be centered around Jerusalem. You can look at all the prophecies. It's all centered back in the nation of Israel on the mount where the plague stopped. On the threshing floor of who?
Ornan's
threshing floor. And that's where they built the Holy of Holies, right on his place, the threshing floors. And the whole temple was built around this, because that's where the plague stopped. And it's going to be right back there again. 8:19. Therefore will I exult in Jerusalem and joy my people, and there shall be heard in her no more the sound of weeping, nor the sound of a cry. That's familiar with Revelation 21, but there's an exception because people are going to still die here. In 21, they're not going to die. So this, we're going to see this. There shall be thenceforth no more a suckling of a few days or an elder who filled not up his days. So people are going to die here. But a youth 100 years old may die, yea, a sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. Then shall they build houses and dwell in them and plant vineyards. Where is this? On the new earth. Mm-hmm. Man is earthbound. We are terrestrial beings, not celestial beings. And so the Christian church, you know, really, which is Satan, saying we're all in heaven. People are in heaven. We're going to find out. No. There's only one Adam in heaven. One human being in heaven. And that's Yahushua. That's it. There's nobody else there. It's right there. And we're going to see in Revelations 4 and 5. So this other stuff is just doctrine of demons. Plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. They shall build another dwell. They shall not build another dwell. They shall not plant another eat. For as the day of a tree shall the days of my people, and the work of their own hands shall my chosen ones use to the full. So this is Revelation 20, the 1,000-year reign. Because Satan's going to be gone. And guess who's the physician? Yahushua. He's running everything. So Yahushua is running Revelation 20, the 1,000-year reign. And so if you feel sick, I'll just go to Yahushua and bink. So you can live to the age you're supposed to be, maybe not to 900, but if you don't live over 100, something was wrong. They shall not labor in vain, nor have children for care, and the seed of the Blessed One of Yahweh shall they be, and their offspring with them, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while yet they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed in unity, and the lion as an ox shall eat straw, but as for the serpent, dust shall be his food. They shall not harm, nor shall they destroy my holy mountain, saith Yahweh. That's the new earth that the church doesn't teach about. Some of them are starting to. 66 verse 22, for as the new heaven and the new earth, Hadash, which I'm about to make, are to remain before me, declareth Yahweh, so shall remain your seed in your name, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come in to bow down before me, saith Yahweh. This is great. This goes, and we're going to see in Isaiah, people are coming to the temple. People are coming up. And if you don't come up, you're going to get in trouble. Which we will see.
Did you see that it showed that Yahweh said in verse 19, I'll exalt in Jerusalem? So if that means leap for joy.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah,
look at what's above it. It says in verse 18, yeah, exult. Right. It says exult perpetually too.
Yeah, isn't that neat? So we should be able to leap. It's leap for joy. Isaiah 2:1. That's really loud. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 2.
Yeah, verse 1. But here's something else for the readers on this new earth. Here's an article that was done in the Morning Watch in England, or Britain, in 1830. So in 1830, here's an article on the New Earth. The strange notion is called Messiah's Reign on the Earth, which you go to our website and read this whole article. The strange notions which men in general entertain respecting the kingdom of the Messiah must be traced to neglect of the sacred scriptures. For I do not find in them one passage to support the common opinion of the spiritual reign, but everywhere do I find the future manifestation of Christ as king declared in language which none can gainsay or resist without doing the most awful violence to the sacred text. And it's on the earth. He's going to be reigning on the earth. And so the end of this article, it is manifest then both from the Old and New Testament saints that instead of our Lord reigning upon the earth having little or no place in our affection, as in the case with the professing church at the present moment, it should fill our hearts and influence us continually. All right, we want, you know, we're looking for that new reign on the earth. And why? Well, I've got it. I don't want to wait. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be waiting for the resurrection. And so, no. And like Bullinger says, he says, don't come to us, Lord. We'll come to you.
Yeah,
that's it. Forget about the resurrection. Forget about him coming in the clouds. All I got to do is die. And if I die, I'm with the Lord. I mean, how demonic is that teaching? And that's the teaching, you know, the satanic teaching.
Exactly.
In the church.
Thou shalt not surely die.
Yeah, and that, and that's one of the points I said. And the conclusion is, Yahweh says, if you eat the tree, dying, you shall die. You do die. That's Yahweh. Satan says, dying, you do not die. That's Genesis 3:4. But will be in heaven, or have an immortal soul, and which can never die. And so you have mankind creating something that, that's not visible, and there's no existence or proof.
Just like
the word soul, and we don't, the word soul should not be in our Bibles at all, because it's a metaphysical Greek philosophy is what it
mythology.
Is. Mythology. It's just, it's mythology. We're going to put the word soul in here, but it's the word, Rotherham is going to show us the word nephesh, and let's just go first uses of nephesh.
Sure.
Genesis 1:20. And they're never going to translate this soul. Everybody knows it's nephesh. So when Yahweh uses the word, the first time it's used, it's stamping the meaning of that word. Just like in the beginning, oh, that's another beautiful thing too. In our regular language, we would say God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. We would never say in the beginning. That's an inner version, you know, which is great. Yahweh begins his word with an intervert. It's an, he inverted the sentence to bring a tentence to in the beginning. In the beginning, God. And the book ends that way, too, with a
grammatical
inverted.
Inversion?
Yeah, it's called an inversion. And actually, that's another point. You're going to see the markets right at the beginning of Genesis 1. The two brackets. Inversion. And that's how Yahweh brings emphasis to something that he's pointing out. Instead of, it's like an underline in it. You take it out of the normal speaking, and it brings emphasis to it. So I can say, I love you. Okay, nothing. How about if I say, you, I love. Okay, that changes things. Or I can say, love, I, you. Well, that changes everything. So those are not three equivalents. You know? And that is what Yahweh does with his word.
Yeah.
Rotherham keeps it that way, where most people just uninvert it to make it simpler. Where was I going?
1:20.
Oh, yeah, the first word
is
nephesh. And Elohim said, let the waters swarm in abundance of living soul. And Rotherham is going to translate it soul, which is nephesh. And so wherever that's going to be, he's letting you know it's the word nephesh. And birds shall fly over the earth. Well, man hasn't been around. He hasn't even been made yet. So Adam and Eve made it. So the water swam with an abundance of living soul. So you got animals who are called, Yahweh calls living nephesh. Is that soul immortal?
No.
And then also you have dead souls. That's not immortal. Mm-hmm. And you also have souls in the blood. Well, that's not going to make it. That's not immortal either. That nephesh in the blood. There's a dead nephesh. And so the word soul and it's impregnated into how's that in Espanol?
Alma.
Yeah, it's going to be Alma in Espanol. It has nothing to do with this book. Mm-hmm. Sorry to say, neither does Hades, but that's beside the point. I divert, but that's the person who works the word nephesh. We're going back to Isaiah 2. Yeah, I almost should have done this in 2. I think I might just do that.
Isaiah 2?
Well, I think we'll do part 2. So we're going to stop here. I've got too much information instead of dragging things out. And then we'll start with Isaiah part 2 in 2 weeks. So we'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father. We're trying to keep things around 30 to 40 minutes. And we got to find another, at least that, if we're going to do justice to what Yahweh says. Well, Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for purifying us and cleansing us. And then by doing so, we get to voluntarily get expelled from religious communities, many times by not following what they are saying, they're going to expel us, and we're going to accept that. That's part of life. Just like they did with Yahushua, as they did with the prophets, as they did with Noah, it's just as they did with the Apostle Paul. So we thank you that we're glad to do that, more than glad. So we thank you for your words, for this prophecy for the people. My children, my arms are continually about you. I care about you more than you can even imagine. So get on bended knees and come to me with humility, and I will exalt you. The haughty I will not exalt. You must become lowly, and I will exalt you. So it's conditional. Amen.
Amen.